Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. Elizabeth Villamagna, Laura Solarin, Julia Schroeder, Tanya Weber, Alicia Murphy, Jennifer Jones, Leah Chiappino, Marissa Baker, JJ Hurley, Robin Lee, Zoe Rodriguez, Matilda Smith-Thompson, Shannon Van Scoten, Rebecca Harris, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Peyton England, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Halfpint Gilbert, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, The No Agenda Podcast, Sherry Benner, Whitney Griggs, Julia Jin, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv podcast, Don Roberts, Max Duration, Aaron Wortman, Liz Serha, Brian S., Bobby Young, Lydia Kikuchi, Stacey Corrigan, Avira Dabas, Candy Gleason, Angie Zadava, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Megan Eichner, Kitty Bollinger, Jeannie Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Dean Almanzo Butler, Julia Monin, Whitney Cole, Rebecca Frederick, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast, Annie Quinn, Jill Stillman, Michelle Plug, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV podcast, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Stacey Keller, Matt Mercier, Cheyenne Hampton, Stephanie Carnes, Kelly Milkey from the Dr. Quincast podcast, Alicia Olin, Rachel Barron, and Jeannie Comer. Thank you all for your support. You make this podcast possible, and in my eyes, this is truly your podcast. So if you have any ideas, suggestions, please feel free to reach out. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you live in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place. Hello and welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark, and I'll stop this music. I do have a comment about that music, and I bet that you are going to have a comment. The you that I'm referring to is Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama. Welcome to the show, Chantel.
Hello. Thanks, Mark.
That was a different version of the music. That was, I could hear guitar in that. I can hear all this stuff. I don't know if you gave it a listen.
But, I did.
Yeah, it was weird. Like that one's more of a, like, I don't know. I don't know what that is. That was a different take.
There was a lot of different versions of music back in, like, for all shows. Mm-hmm. You know, this, I've spoken about it before, but like the 70s was sort of the last great era of television where music was scored. And yeah. I was watching Fred the other day, which episode The Goat.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one to get through.
I was noticing they do this like hilarious, like, you know, they do kind of this Spanish like bullfighting theme, but instead of doing it on trumpet, they do it like on like Beach Boy guitar with like reverb and a wah-wah bar. And it just works. It's just so great. Like, oh, I just love it. It's just too funny. Like, if it's,
that is really funny.
It's a ridiculous episode, but like, it's, I think it's a funny one. It cracks me up.
You know, I said this a few episodes ago that I don't know, but I would pay money to see if somebody had video of the orchestra or the groups of people who are in the sessions recording these songs. I mean, these scores. I don't know why it was not filmed, or if it was filmed, I don't know why it was never released. All of the David Rose orchestrations.
I think it was just,
who would think to?
You know, it was common, right? Like, you had live music in a lot of shows. I know that there's a famous trumpet player named Rafael Mendez, who was from Mexico. and became very, very famous and had this really beautiful tone. And but I mean, his job, and I can't remember, it was one of the big networks, maybe CBS, I don't really remember, but his job, that was what he did. Like, mm-hmm. aside from cutting records as this virtuosic trumpet player, I mean, you don't make money. Like, I mean, everybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're session players.
And, you know, and he was a sessional player. And, you know, it was, and he actually damaged his lip because he was sitting, occasionally they'd be crammed into a really small studio for whatever they were doing, because that's where the room was. And someone came in and opened the door and his bell was in the way and it smashed his trumpet into his lips. Yeah. Like, so there's some interesting, you know, it was an interesting way to be a musician back in those days.
If you could just make sure you're not touching your microphone. I'm just hearing like boom, 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 boom.
I think
as a musician, you should realize.
I know. I'm a trumpet player. I don't need microphones usually.
Well, you can't wear bracelets if there's going to be a microphone in front of you.
Yeah.
But all of these kind of weird things, you know.
Is this better?
Yeah, so far it's fine.
I think it's not that big of a deal. And I was tapping on it.
That's fine. So do you want to talk about the episode that we are going to be reviewing today, Chantal?
Sure. This is Spring Dance. And it's a cute episode. I don't know if it's going to make it out by Valentine's Day, but it's February that we're recording it.
But here's the thing that's kind of strange about this. Now, this would be a perfect Valentine's Day episode, right?
Correct.
Which is why it was released 3 days before Halloween.
Oh, of course it was, yeah.
October 28th, 1975.
Seasons didn't make sense on Little House because they're talking about, well, it's called Spring Dance. Like, oh my God.
It's autumn. Like, what are you talking about?
In my head, I have a whole alternate.
It's 3 weeks before Thanksgiving. You know?
It's like, I think we're really used to like, I mean, if Little House was on today, there'd be like these story arcs and it would be a much different, like, in my head, I have fan fiction written, but I'm kind of like, I'm afraid to put it down.
That's a one-way road.
Because then I will die and someone will embarrassingly read this on my computer. That's my...
Like, welcome to the fan fiction edition of Walnut Grove Cast.
Yeah.
By Chantal Duponishiyama. My memory book.
But I kind of think, like, there's so many great things, places you could go with it, right? Because it's such a crazy world. You don't really have to worry.
No, I would love to embrace a fan fiction rabbit hole, but it would just take up too much time. I have too many other projects going on. So do you.
Oh, yeah. No, that's like I say.
Our kids alone take up too much time in our lives. Not too much, but enough.
No, enough. Yeah.
So we have Laura in the schoolhouse. And she's just kind of staring at an overall blondie who is erasing that board. And Miss Beetle seems very concerned about this. So what is Miss Beetle going to say?
Laura, you're usually the first one gone when class is dismissed. Is there something you want?
No, ma'am. I was just straightening up my desk.
Okay.
Straightening up my desk? It's a piece of wood. What are you talking? Now, she goes and puts on this bonnet, right? This mustard-colored bonnet. It doesn't match at all. This is the most mismatched outfit I've ever seen in my life.
It's true, though. It wouldn't, though, right? Like, they wouldn't have the money to have matching bonnets for every outfit, right?
But you'd think that the colors would definitely be more neutral then. You would have a brown to go, you know, like an earth tone.
Or maybe, you know how kids this age are. It's like, this is my favorite bonnet and I'm wearing it with everything. I don't care.
This is true. This is true. And we're talking about Laura. So, yeah. But yeah, her bonnet really didn't match. But she's putting it on in a very kind of sensual way.
Oh, God,
for an 11-year-old or 10-year-old. But no, she's putting on her bonnet and she's giving him googly eyes. It's very cute. And... Henry, that's his name. Henry's outside and he's clapping the erasers. The whole thing is very odd. This is one of these things that I think, a kid like my kid and your kid would watch and think it's so weird to have a blackboard. And I just had Whitney Griggs on a Wagon Talks episode and she was talking about how she teaches third grade. or grade 3 in Canada. And they have smart boards, of course.
Smart boards, yeah.
So it's very strange to make this, you know, to explain to children or anyone really who didn't experience it that, you know, you were allowed to write on the wall and it was okay. But it had to be this one wall.
I am a vintage nerd, and my son is rapidly picking up on that. He's into vintage gaming.
Nice.
He loves my vinyl collection. So it is, though. Like, I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like to be in a classroom with a smart board. I mean, my husband teaches with them all the time, but it's like, wow, that was like science fiction when we were in school, right?
Well, we had the overhead projector, which was pretty cool. Did you have that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course.
That was like kind of magic. That was kind of a smart board. Smart for me. Those transparencies, you can use the marker.
And it had like the roll on it, so you could just like carry on and just like keep writing if you were teaching at Leap. That was pretty high tech.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And not for people like me, who is a lefty, so, you know, I get it all smeared and it would just be a big disaster, really. But so what is she doing? She's going up and she's like, you're pretty good with those erasers. He's clapping them to basically remove all of the chalk dust, which cannot be healthy. This is not good. Like, these are tiny particles that this poor kid is breathing in. And he's covered in it. He's covered in chalk dust.
I can taste it in the back of my throat when I watch him do that, because I remember, like,
yeah,
you'd bang it. If you did do that, you'd bang it out and you would taste it, right?
Ugh, I hate chalk so much. It's one of those things. But here we go.
Bet you clean those erasers better than anybody.
Nothing to it once you get the hang.
Kind of like dancing, I guess.
I guess. See ya.
Henry?
Laura?
No. Oh, let's just hear Mary.
Laura, come on. Ma's waiting for us at the post office.
So Mary just ruined a special moment, I think. Something is going to happen behind the schoolhouse.
Mary ruins everything.
Yeah, thanks, Mary.
Thanks for not.
Appears to be matching everything, even her bonnet.
Well, she's Little Miss Goody Two-Shoes.
Yeah, she really is. That was the first Sia, though. I believe there are three Sias in this episode.
The first, Sias. Oh, yeah, because you've said that Sia is not a...
Yeah, Pa says it later, which is weird. And I think Henry says it later. But I just thought that was kind of weird. There's a lot of, you know, see ya. So Mary is, you know, Mary's being Mary. She's just running around because she's like the pretty blonde girl and she has information to share with everyone.
Snyder? Ma, guess what?
What?
Bert Miller asked me to spring dance with him and he's the only boy I really wanted to go with.
Oh, that's nice, Mary.
It sounds like you had a good day, Mary.
Oh, I did. Come on, Carrie, let's beat him home.
Oh, Ma. Oh, it doesn't look like you had such a good day.
What's the matter, Laura?
Well, I've been thinking. Well, you can hear fairy tales and stories, and you never really know how tragical things are unless you really feel them yourself.
Tragical?
Okay, I wrote a note about that because I wonder, that was a very Anna Green Gables thing to say.
Well, it sounds like tragically.
Yeah, but it was like a word Anne would use in the early book when she's around that age. And I wondered if maybe there was a Canadian writer or someone who loved the Anne series, because it was popular in
Definitely
some places
possible.
In the States,
yeah.
Too. Yeah, and kind of like did that as a nice little nod. Maybe not, but that's kind of how I take it. It's kind of cute because it's sort of the same age when you're becoming dimly aware of romantic relationships, right?
You know, it's weird. Like, that kind of stands out. And later on, Ma uses a word that, although is a Ma word, we've probably never heard her use it. And that word is capricious.
Capricious.
So I was like, huh, that's just not very... Well, yeah, we also get a very different Ma. We get the Ma on the express line in the supermarket reading an Inquirer in this episode. We don't get, like, your common good advice, not busybody Ma.
I think, you know, what I love about Caroline the most watching these, I mean, I watched them as a kid and it was all about Laura, but, you know, watching them as a 46-year-old mom.
A ma.
A ma. I see so, like, there's this fallibility about Caroline. She does lose her temper. She does get angry. She does. And then she feels terrible about it, the way moms feel terrible. And I kind of appreciate that. I think she was a great portrayal of parenthood and what it's like to be a parent.
No, I couldn't agree more. And it's just sometimes Caroline can be a little bit hoity-toity. And this is not. This is like maybe a more genuine way that people talk.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of also puts on display that even 1875 women had issues with men, you know, and they were simple issues.
Well, and I think it's just that whole, I mean, this is a classic story, right? It's just sure. That relationships are, they're difficult. They're difficult mm-hmm. because of how men and women are socialized. They're difficult because of, you know, there's many reasons they're difficult. It's, you know, I hate to say women do this and men do that. And I don't want to.
But they kind of do.
But we have our, you know, we're socialized in a certain way. I mean, the first thing I wrote about this was early heteronormative sexual roles, which in the 70s, yeah, it made sense, right? But it's pretty weird. Laura's pretty young to be worrying about going on a date with a boy, right? Like,
well, this is the spring dance. So what I'm thinking is, and you know it's the spring dance because it's the name of the episode.
That's the name of the episode, yeah.
No, but this is like a big deal. It's the, from what I could tell, it's an annual thing. We've never heard of it before. I don't think we ever hear of it again. Maybe we do. Is the spring dance where Almanzo and Laura kissed? I'm not really sure.
It might be. Yeah, I can't remember.
They might have called it something else at that point.
What it reminds me of is my mom grew up in a part of Alberta that has like a huge population of Ukrainian people. And she was like part of that community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they would get together like every Saturday as a community and everybody goes. My mom's a great dancer, right? Mm-hmm. Like everybody learned how to dance from like a young age because that's what you did. There'd be a live band of locals. There'd be like, it was a very different dynamic. And I think it's the same thing here, right? Like you gather everybody who plays a musical instrument, everyone gets together and dances.
Right. Small town entertainment.
And honestly, like St. John's, Newfoundland, it's kind of like that still. Like every pub in the afternoon on like a Saturday has walk-in bluegrass and walk-in whatever, yeah. Right? Like it's just, I think when you're in a place where a lot of people play instruments and that's economically depressed, a lot of the time, you know, people find ways of entertaining themselves that aren't expensive, you know?
Yeah. Well, one way of entertaining is to give advice. And that's what Ma is doing because... Because Grace is basically saying how Isaiah has not asked her to this dance either. So Laura shouldn't feel so bad. But here's some of the advice that they're having as they're strolling across the prairie. And Ma's like doing this thing with the basket where she's throwing it back and forth. This is very Karen Grassley, I think. This is her just kind of riffing a little bit and having fun with the script.
Grace, I may be speaking out of turn, but that man takes you entirely too much for granted. It's high time he was shaken out of his complacency.
Oh, I'm afraid it'd take a bolt from the blue to do that.
Well, there's always one sure cure for complacency, and that's competition.
We only compete at fishing.
Oh, no, not that kind of competition. Competition for you.
Now, Caroline's not very worldly, would you say? Like, it's not like she's dated a million men. We know of one other person that she dated outside of Pa. But she seems to be very experienced.
I think the thing about the Ingalls is, I mean, realistically, most people wouldn't even be literate back then. You know what I mean? Like, and Charles and Caroline are readers. They're avid readers.
Right.
Right? So I think that makes them a little more worldly than anybody else around them. Also, where did Mary go? Where are Mary and Carrie? Did I miss when they tapped out?
Yeah, well, you know, they...
All of a sudden, it's just Laura. Anyways, that's...
Playing with a bee's hive or something like that.
Some prairie thing that they do.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, there's... I think you probably lived... I don't think it was any different than it is now.
That's what I mean. It's not really... She's not really speaking from her own personal experience so much. Because we do learn later that her advice is missing a little bit of the truth. The ending is was altered. But here we go. She continues.
A suitor.
Oh, Carolyn, Isaiah's the only suitor I've had since my husband passed on. Where in the world am I going to find another one?
Well, doesn't matter if you find another one. It only matters if Mr. Edwards thinks you have. Remember how he sparked your interest with that scented letter that he sent himself?
And Laura's listening. And she's like practically taking notes.
Yeah, she is.
Well, turnabout is fair play.
Do you really think it might work?
I know it would. Why, if I'd waited for Charles to make the first move, I might be a spinster today.
But you're not a spinster because you know how to match your bonnet to your outfit.
Well, that's true, yes.
Because Caroline looks perfect.
She always looks perfect.
Yeah, her outfit is spot on.
She's that mom, right? Like, she never goes out without looking perfect.
She can eat spaghetti and meatballs with a white blouse.
Correct. Yeah, she's that person for sure. She's just too perfect. And I love Melissa Gilbert that even at this young age, she could act so well with her face.
You know, this particular episode, we get a lot of really, really tight close-up shots of Laura. And we get her freckles, and this is where her teeth have been fixed a little bit. And it's like you're starting to see this tomboy, cute little girl kind of growing up. But it's early still. It's still 1975, so kind of interesting. But I thought that this was one of the more visual episodes for Melissa Gilbert. Like, she does so much with her face in this episode. Like, this particular scene. But Let's hear what else Caroline is going to add to this.
He took a drastic step. Started making sheep's eyes at another boy.
Well, if he doesn't make a move soon, it sure can't do any harm to try.
You know, desperate situations call for desperate measures.
I'll see you tomorrow, Carolyn.
Bye.
Bye.
That's a very Brady Bunch type of thing where you can almost hear that piece of advice in her head later with an echo.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, well, let me put some apples down my dress and, you know, desperate times. But, you know, it's, you know, Caroline means well, and her advice, I don't know if I like her advice very much. I don't like the dumb blonde card.
Terrible advice. I mean, you should never, there's no reason. I mean, the result of this episode is just to ask, right? Like, it's okay. Women are allowed to ask men. Like, it's not.
But I, you know what, at the same time, was it appropriate?
Back then.
Yeah, I guess not. It's so weird.
But I think with Edwards, it is, because he's just so.
Yeah, he's such like, look at the guy. I mean,
he's just not socialized well. He's been living in the woods for too long.
Right. Like, I mean, the guy, he has been. But Laura basically talks to Mary for a little while and gets some sisterly advice. Nothing too crazy. Just kind of like, why do boys like you, Mary? And it's like, man, I didn't even realize that boys like me. And
hashtag pretty privilege, Mary.
Yeah, seriously.
Even when you're blind, you get the hot guy. Like, come on.
Exactly. It's like Adam. And he gets his vision back.
And because she's
so pretty.
It's just ridiculous.
So Laura is the next day playing with Willie marbles. You know, it's a game I don't recall ever really playing marbles. But it's a reoccurring game that we see on Little House. And we hear about Laura's Aggie all the time. And her Smoky? I don't remember.
I don't know. Marbles are like a thing of the past.
Yeah, I mean, I know some marbles can still be very expensive because some are made with certain materials or designs. I'm not really sure. But some people do spend a lot of money on marbles. It's not my cup of tea.
It's a hobby like any other. I mean,
yeah. So
everybody's passionate about something.
But Laura's like a pro. So she's outside and she's basically throwing the game. Let's hear a little bit about how bad she is at marbles and how good Henry is.
I'll trade you these for that big Aggie of yours.
Don't you know you're not supposed to talk when someone else is trying to play?
Oh, my. Wish I could shoot like that. You think you could show
me
how?
I'm not playing anymore.
You should go right now.
The thing I like to do best is fishing. You like to go fishing?
Yep.
Pa says most girls don't have the patience. They get all fidgety, especially when it's time to bait the hook with a squiggly worm. I caught my biggest fish using a bright colored piece of yarn on the hook, as well as a glove. You ever try that?
Nope.
Best time to catch a fish is the day after a full moon.
So she goes on with a lot of boring stuff about fishing. not really resonating with me, Laura. But, you know, she's really trying her hardest to create rapport with this boy. And really, he's just being a kid, you know? I mean, she's trying too hard. Also, kissing his butt, I don't know. It's another tactic I just don't really think will pay off in the end. But the thing that we see that's kind of interesting is how Laura's doing it, and then we see Grace doing it. And I'll put a little thing in a little bit, but they're in the mercantile, not they, but, Isaiah walks into the mercantile and the Olsons are just kind of hanging out, and Isaiah comes in talking about poker. And of course, Harriet has to have an opinion about him. He just kind of helps himself to the candy in the jar. Did you notice that? I mean, he paid for it.
Of course he does.
Now, he also goes up to, is that a cheese wheel?
Yep, it's cheese wheel.
It looks like a cheese wheel, but it doesn't look like real cheese to me.
Probably not. That would be expensive. Can you imagine? No, there's no way it would be real. It would just be like wax.
Yeah, it was weird. Very strange. But here's Isaiah.
I about to run out of toe in the back.
Well, we'll take care of that.
Oh, morning, ladies.
Oh, morning.
Good morning. Hey, I missed you at the poker game last night.
Some people spend their time in more worthwhile pursuits.
Well, so would I if I could think of one.
Here, now, this material. When this first came in, I said to Mr. Olson, this is just perfect for Grace Snyder.
Oh, I don't know. Gray is such a drab color.
Well, it's so
practical. I was looking for something sprightlier, you know, for special occasions. Like the spring dance.
What do you think, Mr. Edwards?
Well, if I was going to trip the light fantastic, I think I'd fancy the blue. Puts me in mind of Cattail Lake just before sunup.
Then you like the blue. Hmm. I'll take some of this.
Now, you know you ought to try the fishing up there. It's real good.
So Isaiah is just not taking the hand. Maybe a lot of guys are like this. As a woman, did you find when you were courting... guys just not being able to take a hint?
Oh, I absolutely did stupid stuff I think women are just like socialized to be very manipulative, and we're always in competition with other women. You know, like we're, talking with my husband about things, and I'll be like, oh my God, like I wish I looked like that, or I wish I had that. And he's just like, what? What is it with all this like stuff all the time that you, mm-hmm. are you women ever happy? And I'm like, no, like.
As he orders a 3D printer, but, and his funny loud keyboards.
he puts up with a lot of my hobbies too. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it, but collector.
Sorry. I just messed with my keyboard and reset the entire
thing. Oh no.
No, no, no. It's okay. It's just time. So, I didn't know that you're a Barbie collector.
Yeah, I don't have any real old stuff, but I've kind of gotten back in. I really like my Barbies. I loved them as a kid. I still love them. I love dressing them up. I love telling little weird stories with them. I'm starting like a little Instagram series where they just kind of, I've got these silly little skits.
Oh, that's funny.
That I'm doing with them. And they make me happy and I don't care. Like, I don't care that I'm a 46-year-old.
You should reenact like Little House segments.
There's no manly men. There's no Ken dolls. That they all look like they're the Ken dolls all look very pretty. Mm-hmm.
You need to, you know. All right, so this is what you guys have to do. You have to get your husband to create 3D models of each of their heads, And what, Little House people. So nails, head.
Oh my God. And then paint them. And that would be amazing.
Yeah. And then you hand paint them. I mean, money is no object. Time is no object.
Right. And, yeah. This is a great idea.
You to stitch some 3-piece suits for nails with a little watch chain.
Yeah, tiny little watches. Yeah.
Yeah. And it should work. I mean, it'll be a watch.
It'll be fun. I'll build all the sets too, because
I should hope so. But it would be embarrassing not to.
So I wrote down on this one that Harriet's trying to push Grace towards this like gray, because of course Grace is a widow and she should be appropriately dressed, right? Which is kind of unfair because Grace is, I think she's in her 40s. She's not an old widow.
No,
right?
She's a young woman.
She's a very young woman still, right?
Yeah. She's not your typical spinster widow. But, clearly she lost. Do we know what happened to her husband? I don't think we
ever get backstory on that.
I wonder if it was like the Bloody Baiters. Maybe her original. Do you know about the Bloody Baiters?
I do not.
Bloody Baiters is, it's a true crime thing that happened not very far from Walnut Grove, during the same period of time that the Ingalls lived in Walnut Grove in real life.
Oh.
And, they were, serial killers. Yeah, if you look up Bloody Baiters, B-A-D-E-R, it's kind of horrific. And there's this rumor, and I think this is 100% of a rumor, that the real Charles Ingalls had some level of responsibility for killing, capturing and killing the Bloody Baiters, or one of them.
That's
because they had manhunts for them, and I believe that he might have been a part of that. I need to go and find
out. He was in a posse? That's so cool.
A posse, yeah.
I'd like to be in a posse. Of course he was. I love it when they have posses.
We have Charles Ingalls, head of the posse. Yeah,
and just like rips off his shirt, because I'm sure real Charles Ingalls was,
He rips the sleeve off and wraps it around his head like a bandana. And he's the Indians following him, into the fight, and they're writing songs about him. That's Charles Ingalls.
Dances with Charles.
Jeez. Dances with Charles. Curly locks. Big hair. Shiny, hairless chest or something.
Oh, my God.
All right, enough.
Yeah, okay. We need to stop.
But Isaiah has a joke to tell. So this is his joke.
Hanson was telling this story, about a couple that was celebrating 25 years of wedlock. The wife, she's chattering on about the courtship and the wedding way back then. Finally, she turns to him and she says, Horace, do you love me still? He said, my dear, that's the way I love you best.
I didn't understand a damn word he said. And the women are just like, what is going on there?
I think this is a great scene in just like the difference, that.
Yeah. Harriet just wants to go and say, you are a disgusting man.
Yeah.
She wants to.
And I'm kind of with Harriet on this one, honestly.
I mean, you gotta love Isaiah, but he's such a knucklehead.
I was watching the episode Quarantine where he's like, you really saw his, I got into a thing this week and just started watching a bunch of Little House episodes. And
I didn't know you liked Little House.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's shocking, right? Yeah, anyways. So
me too.
But I was thinking, sometimes he's got really good acting chops, dramatically.
Yeah, he's very talented, yeah.
But he's, such a dork as Isaiah a lot of the time.
It's funny. We got that terrible joke, and then we get the dad joke later from Pa. And I was like, what is going on here? Bible humor?
Oh, I totally wrote down dad jokes too.
But yeah, I clipped that. We'll get to that. But so, all right. So who are they going to use as a gentleman caller for jealousy? There's really not that many single men in Walnut Grove. So Grace kind of fakes fainting for Doc's attention. So that's kind of a weird scene. I'm just going to play some of that.
Grace, you feeling poorly?
Oh, I just got this strange giddy feeling just came over me all of a sudden.
Here, sit down.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you in pain?
No, pain.
Grace, tell me, how long has it been since you've seen me professionally or any other doctor?
Oh, dear, I don't rightly remember. 2 years, maybe more.
Well, that's too blame long. Now, you're coming over to my office and we'll get to the bottom of this.
Oh.
That's the trouble with people around here. They never see a doctor until they're sick, until it's too late.
So they're kind of walking by and she's being faint and he's holding her up. And from a distance, it does appear to be kind of touchy. But, you know, she's really playing it up like falling into his arms.
And this entire episode, Doc is just completely oblivious to anything. Like
he's just like, oh, my God, what's wrong with Grace?
Yeah.
She's got the vapors. So meanwhile, we have this other story going on with Laura. So Laura approaches her brother in real life, Willie, and asks a favor. Of Willie, of all people. So this is where things get a little bit schemey.
Goes back.
Whoops. I missed that clip. Here we go.
What relation is she to you?
Reckon if I had an uncle, she'd be my mom.
Oh, Henry, you're so smart.
So that was Nellie, I guess, kind of flirting with Henry. And that's just not going to fly in the world of Laura Ingalls. So she approaches Willie.
Here, you better take your marbles back.
But they're yours. I'll even give you back the ones I won from you. I'll even give you my big Aggie.
My pa's got marbles in the store. I can get all I want.
Not like my Aggie. Mine's the best Aggie in all of Minnesota.
Bet you want me to do something mean to my sister.
That's just terrible. Do you want me to kill her? I'll do it. For the Aggie.
No, just
a fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Laura is, she's got this real streak in her that's not good a lot of the time.
No.
Favor.
What kind of favor?
You have to pretend like you like me, like you're my beau.
That's no favor, that's a chore.
I don't like it any more than you do, Willie Olsen.
Then how come you want me to do it?
Never mind why. You want the Aggie or don't you?
How much do I have to pretend?
A lot. Like you're stuck on me.
What?
Just for the rest of the week. Maybe not that long.
The Aggie and the Cloudy.
What?
Part of negotiation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right. The Aggie and the Cloudy.
Give me the marbles.
So she's basically saying, once you do the job, then you will get the payment. So she decides to put the entire thing into action immediately.
Bye. Hi, Henry.
Oh, and she kisses him on the cheek, and Henry sees it. Henry doesn't look too happy about this. We never see Henry again, do we?
No, of course not. He's comes and then he goes.
Yeah,
it's so weird. Like, continuity was so not a thing in the 70s.
Well, certainly not in Little House.
And not, like, the scene we're coming up to. I found a big continuity error.
What is that?
So,
or should I play Isaiah's, it first?
Yeah, play it. It's that the...
Well, it's a very visual scene, so I was going to play up to where Charles comes up and goes over and speaks to Doc.
So, you'll see Grace leave Doc's office.
Mm-hmm.
And then he calls over to Charles, and Charles goes over, and Isaiah's watching this whole thing.
Yeah.
And then when Charles comes back, they have a conversation, and Edwards asks about...
Well, that's the scene I have in front of me. I'm going to play
it. Yeah, okay. So...
Everybody's well.
You worried me, you know, going over Doc Baker's like that.
Oh, right? No. I promised the Doc I'd make him a hat rack. I forgot all about it.
Oh, well, that explains it, then.
Yeah, got to be on the way.
You Grace Snyder over there, did you?
Yeah, she's sitting in the waiting room.
Looks kind of peaked, I mean.
No, I thought you looked real good. I'll see you.
Another see ya, by the way.
Yeah,
it's like the ferns. Oh, my God. Like, I can't not hear them now. So he's looking over there, and he sees Grace coming, you know, leaving the doctor's office. And he goes over there. Isaiah goes over and basically asking if everything's okay.
I ain't one to pry, but couldn't help noticing all them trips you've been making to Doc Baker's. Would a sickness come on you all of a sudden, did it?
Sickness?
I don't know what you mean. What sickness?
You mean he ain't doctoring you?
Why, no. He did give me a checkup, and he prescribed a tonic, but he says I'm in fine shape.
We sure did a lot of patting while he was telling you.
Well, Dr. Baker and I are old friends. Besides, we had something very important to discuss.
Oh, something you forgot to discuss when you was over there yesterday?
We discussed it yesterday, and we discussed it today. And I'm...
Oh, well, it's all right. It ain't none of my business. I just come by to see if he's all right.
Oh, Isaiah! Wait a minute! Isaiah!
She's playing too... I mean, she's taking it too far. That's what's happening.
Yeah, and the thing I wanted to point out is, so before Charles goes to talk to Doc, mm-hmm. she actually leaves the office. But when Charles comes back, he says that she was sitting in the office.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so she's actually left already. So it's actually kind of a big continuity error.
Yeah.
Who cares? But, you know.
Well, I care. So Willie has a few little scenes here and there that I think are very funny here. I'm going to play this. Poor Willie is constantly being pulled and prodded by Laura.
Wait a minute, Laura. I'm losing my shoe.
Oh, all right. But you haven't kept your part of the bargain.
I met you by the sweetheart tree, didn't I?
Yes. But I'm not getting my marbles worth. Recess is almost over and you haven't held my hand once.
I had to go to the outhouse.
You always have to go to the outhouse.
I can't hold your hand all the time.
Well, you have to if you want the Aggie and all your other marbles back.
Don't forget the Cloudy.
I didn't, but you're not keeping your part of the bargain.
I can't hold hands all the time. My hand gets wet.
Mine too. Come on, we gotta run.
These two are like the perfect couple, actually. I mean, I know it's brother and sister, but, you know, relationship-wise, they're spot on. They're getting all the arguments out, you know.
It's they're just getting it all out, and they'll never have to argue again.
Yeah, you're going to have a great life together. but poor Willie. They go to school and all that kind of stuff, and Laura's in the next scene, and she's studying the Bible. Boring. I'm just but it's kind of just like, what? Anyway, so we get dad jokes from 1875. And I just think, like, I don't know what this is all about, but it's just kind of funny. But
Mary's got a great look on her face here. Like, will you guys just shut up? I was reading.
But it's almost like she's laughing for real about this because it's such a bad joke. But dad joke.
I'll ask you a few questions, see if you can answer them. Where do they mention baseball in the Bible?
Baseball?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they played baseball in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Very first line, Book of Genesis. In the beginning.
Charles.
And we reviewed the beginning.
Yes, we did.
I wonder if this was the moment he thought, hey, that'd be a good name for an episode.
I think it might be, because I think it's after this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it is.
Well, let me try another one.
Good.
Can you tell me what time of day God created Adam?
What time?
Just before Eve. Just before Eve.
Yeah.
Where's the gong?
Outside, smoke my pipe.
Go smoke something. But
I love this because he's just like, I'll let myself out now. Like, that's just what happened there.
Dad jokes. Laura goes out to talk to Pa for advice, and it's another little cute little moment. But then we get a popcorn scene. We get Caroline and Charles are in bed munching away.
Oh, and that bowl 100% came from, like, they just roughed up the bowl from the salad set that everyone's mom had in the 70s.
Yeah, you're right. It would be like, with the tongs and everything?
Yeah, it had the tongs and the little bowl. For sure. It's 100%.
I never thought they were sanitary. That was my whole thing.
It's your thing? I guess they're porous. As a child, I didn't really think about it.
Yeah, me either. But we had, like, that set totally. It was probably from, like, Montgomery Ward or something.
I was that kid who would, like, when my mom was making hamburger when she wasn't looking, I'd go snitch a piece and eat it raw. Like, I was that
There you go. I give raw hamburger meat to my dogs a little bit, like a little tiny bit.
Little treat, yeah.
And they seem to really like dead flesh.
Of course they do. They're carnivorous.
Raw dead flesh. You know, one thing I had when I was growing up, and I really wish I had a spot for it, you know, the large wooden spoon and fork sets that people had in their kitchens?
Yes.
Now, my wife would never let me put those up in our kitchen now. She's just, you know, granted, it wouldn't fit it. It wouldn't look right. You know, it's a modern kitchen. But I really want to do that. I think I'm just going to, the next time I'm at a place and I see them, because they do pop up from time to time at like an antique shop, I'm just going to buy them. I'll put them up in here in my office.
I live in like a decidedly 70s house, like a four level 1970s, mm-hmm. four level split built.
Okay.
78. And every once in a while I have this like feeling that it would be super funny if I just like redid the whole house like as it would have been.
Yeah.
Like and then my husband formica says,
and
yeah.
Yeah.
And then my husband says, remember what the bathroom lino looked up when we pulled up the floor in my bathroom? And it was that awful brick, like fake brick. Like,
oh, love it.
Like, for sure, that was the kind of lino they had at the Regal Beagle on Three's Company. Like, that's to make it give it that like weird tavern look.
Yeah. Growing up, we had an, I think our kitchen was avocado.
Yeah. Avocado. I think we had the burnt orange in our house.
Ooh, burnt orange.
Yeah.
Then some people had the matching burnt orange oven with kind of darkened edges.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like a sunburst, almost like a guitar that has a sunburst paint.
Yeah, kind of. Yep. My grandmother had avocado Maytags in the basement.
There you go. It's not very energy efficient stuff. But here we go. There's a little bit of talk while eating popcorn.
Just needs more salt.
You should have said something before you ate it all.
No, I shouldn't. It was my turn to get out of bed and get the salt.
I didn't realize Silas Marner was funny.
It's not Silas Marner. I was thinking about Edwards.
Oh?
You should have seen him today. I've seen a dog chasing his tail was happier than him.
Oh, what was the matter?
I don't know. He's got some silly idea in his head that something's going on between Grace and Dr. Baker.
Hmm. Guess that's not such a silly idea. Grace is an attractive woman.
I know she's an attractive woman, but Edward's got no reason to be jealous. Question is, where'd he ever get an idea like that?
That's a very good question, Charles. Good night.
She's so proud of like putting her nose in other people's lives.
That close up of her
is weird.
It's Scarlett O'Hara when I see that close up. That is any time in Gone with the Wind that Scarlett O'Hara kind of comes up with one of her like ridiculous epiphanies that, you know.
Right. It's right up there with like Jim Halpert looking into the camera on The Office.
Yeah.
Or Furley, a close up of Furley at the Regal Beagle.
Yeah. It's that moment that they're saying prayers at 12 Oaks, the beginning of Gone with the Wind, where she decides that, oh, I haven't told Ashley that I love him yet. And that's that look.
That actually, yeah, you're right.
That is that look right there, right? It's just this funny, like, yeah, that's what I get from that look totally, which is great, which is, again, just another wonderful. There were some really good, the actors here really acted well with their faces mm-hmm. throughout the whole series.
Like, I agree.
There's some really talented actors who'd not only done TV, but stage. And I think you really saw that come across.
Yeah. There's a lot of expressive looks that, especially this particular episode. We get this weird scene though with Laura fishing and just kind of arguing a lot with Willie. It kind of goes on and on. So I'm just going to play kind of the part where Henry shows up and he feels like he's interrupting things. I always feel bad for Willie. So this is another moment where I think Laura forces Willie to give her a kiss on her cheek. And when he does it, she yells at him. So this is the outcome. Because Henry's just basically like, well, I'm going to leave you lovebirds.
Nothing ever works right with you, Willie.
But I just didn't.
Oh, be quiet.
But
I just did what you told me to. Dumb girls.
Dumb girls.
Well, and Willie's not wrong. Like,
No, we're on Willie's team at this point.
Kinda. Like, Laura's just being so... And I think it's... This is... Yeah, like, I think this is this sort of funny... It's almost like a funny...
Yeah, it's just a kind of weird situation.
It's funny because she's trying to do what she thinks is going to... And even, like, she yanks the thing too hard and she loses the fish, which is, like something she'd never do, but she's mm-hmm. trying really hard to kind of, like... You know, like, he'd like her just as she is, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's this sort of, like, oh, I'm trying to be this person that... Going to be more like Mary, because men just... You know, follow her around or whatever. I mean, boys at this point. But,
like, so that didn't work for me, so let me try something new.
Yeah.
So Doc comes by to pick up his coat rack, which Charles has kind of whipped up in the middle of the night.
He doesn't sleep.
No, why? Come on. And this is like the first time I've ever seen Pa do the right thing when it comes to paying for something.
Oh, yeah.
Just give me a credit, Doc.
I can't let you do that.
Doc, I got three girls. When one of them gets sick, they all get sick. It's always nice to know you got some credit at the doctor's office.
Oh.
That's what you want. It is.
Doctor!
It's four girls. I mean, are we leaving Ma out? I mean, I know she's not a girl, but, you know, come on. It'd be funny if you just said, I have two girls. Just leave Carrie out.
Just Carrie. And that poor really Carrie. Annoying one.
Oh, poor Carrie.
No, she's not annoying. She's just little. Would someone please, like, get some chapstick for Kevin Hagen and maybe some sunscreen? Like, I swear to God, he looks like he's about to burst into flames every scene outside because he's this pale ginger, right? Like,
his hair looks good in this episode, though.
It's not too bad. No. There's, like, a really good season. I think anytime, like I said, I've said before, anytime he guest starred in MASH and he kind of had to have, like, military, like, 1970s high and tight. It's not, like, real high and tight, but it was, like, 1970s high and tight.
Yeah.
His hair looked better. And he must have, he actually must have liked wearing his hair longer because he did the rest of his life after this. And, you know, like, he was very clean cut if you watch any of his stuff prior to this, like, properly...
He had an interesting look also when he was younger with his facial hair and everything. He had kind of an evil villain look going.
Well, he did in Yancey Derringer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he absolutely did. I don't know that was his, though. Like, I don't know if that was part of, like, I don't know if he wore that or if that was, like, all.
Well, he wore it well, I thought. And it definitely looked like. You know, it was definitely a look.
Yeah, I freaking hate facial hair. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never shave. I'm just I'm full of hair.
In Canada, they just have, like, so you've always been able to wear beards in the Navy because that's tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's like that down there, but the Air Force, they've just made it, like, now, like, the Air Force and the Army can wear beards too, and there's all these Air Force officers with beards, and I'm just like, no, sir, I don't like it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I know that's not, you know, it's just preference. It's not, it's not my place to,
This whole pandemic, normally what I do hair-wise is I almost never shave until I have to. And then I just basically I'll just buzz it. But the hair on my head, I've let it grow now. I let it grow for a year. And then the whole pandemic happened. I still didn't cut it. And now my hair is really long again. Like, it's to the point where I guess I'm just going to let it keep growing. I haven't had hair this long in a very long time, but it's well past my shoulders.
Oh, really? Just, wow. That must be impressive.
And it's just I used to have hair like down to my waist. Like, I used to have very, very, very long hair in my late teens and early 20s. And I feel like at this age, I just turned 48. I don't know. If I cut it all off, is it going to keep growing for my whole life? It's a full head of, and it's like jet black hair. It's like, I do have gray hair, but it's weird because the hair, I'm not going to keep going on about my hair, but the hair on the top of my head is jet black, but the hair underneath, like on the sides, like, you know, like J. Jonah Jameson has those gray things.
Yeah.
I have those, But you don't see them because it's covered in black on top. So.
See, and I wear my hair very short. And basically, it's kind of long on the top, and I make it, like, really high and crazy. Mm-hmm. And then the sides are shaved. So, well,
yeah, you're part of that retro. You're doing that whole retro 80s. What would you like a punk
look? No, I just look better as a boy. I really do.
It's not a boy's cut, though. It's, you know, you definitely have your own style.
But yay for us for eschewing traditional, you know, hair rolls for men and women. Hooray. We're, you know, look at us.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh my God, it's like a hippie type thing. But, you know, hey, that's life. So
if you've got nice hair and you can grow it, like, right?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, if I cut it, it's all going to fall out maybe. But so Caroline says, here's a bouquet of flowers. Can you please give these to Grace? Like really setting Doc up for something. So Doc delivers.
Grace, Carolyn Ingalls sent these to you.
Oh, why, they're lovely.
And in the background, just hilariously, we have Isaiah just looking at the post office building, acting like just in the background, like, hey, I'm just out here looking around. And you just see him. It's so funny.
It's great. It's almost Bud Billion.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for bringing them over.
And when he's out of, like, her view, you see him, like, running to the side to get a better view. It's very funny.
It is very funny.
And you get the Isaiah music in the background.
Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Grace, have you been having hearing problems lately?
Oh, I know. I was wondering, have you finished the Dickens book that I lent you?
Oh, yes.
Yes. I'll bring it back tonight on my way home from dinner at Hanson's.
Oh, now that would be just fine.
So she's just doing all of these little things to make it appear to be a flirtation. She's taking a flower off and putting it in his, what would you call that pocket? The hanky pocket?
I guess the breast pocket on
The breast
vest,
pocket.
I think, yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing?
And he's completely oblivious, right? Like...
He's used to women kind of fawning over him on some level, you know?
I think I think Doc is a little bit that guy, you know? And Kevin Hagen was married 4 times, so he had to have something going for him.
So she goes over there, she meets with Doc to get the book, and she does the old dust in my eye trick. So she's looking, and Isaiah comes to meet her. Is this her house?
Yeah, it's her house.
Yeah. So he comes and drops off the book. Isaiah shows up, at a time that, Grace said to come over and have some cherry pie. And it appears that they're doing some smooching and Isaiah starts losing his mind a little bit.
But the contagion is healed. For you. Huh? Ain't this a fine how do you do?
I see. You're early.
Well, you got this worked out like a railroad timetable? Easy 8 o'clock, I roll in at 9?
What the devil are you talking about?
Oh, don't play innocent with me. I caught the two of you dead to rights.
He's just trying to get a speck of dust out of my eye.
Well, maybe I ought to put something in your eye, like a fist.
What? Oh.
Well, then on second thought, maybe I oughtn't to hit a man who done me a good turn. Showed me how fickle-hearted you could be.
I just do want to say that Doc did not back down.
He took off his glasses
and took a step towards him.
Yeah. I wonder if that's a nod. Because, of course, Kevin Hagen often played, like, the heavies, right?
Yeah.
And he was a big man. Like, he was 6'2". Yeah. He's got broad shoulders. Like, he was a big guy. And
he's got, like an inch, at least, on Isaiah.
Oh, actually. Easily, yeah. And I'm a fangirl, and I've watched, like, all of his stuff. Like, he's often, like, taller than most of the actors on a set. Right? Like, he's not a... I think he could be a bruiser, you know?
He's a big guy.
Well, it's better that I found it out now than before it was too late.
Just a minute, Edwards. Now, Edwards!
And, end scene.
And I like he just destroys the gate as he goes out.
He just kind of kicks it. Like, poor Isaiah, he's not going to get any dessert tonight. No cherry pie.
No cherry pie. So and he Laura, loves her cherry pie, so.
So Laura thinks, what I'm going to do is make a like a crap load of peanut butter sandwiches, and I'm going to give them to Henry. Not a bad idea, right? I mean, especially for the time. Not the most... It's a little bit kind of like, well, girls know how to cook. Girls can make sandwiches. But she brought a whole sack of them. But Willie got his hands on them and looks like she started handing them out to everyone. Because everyone's eating sandwiches. Do you notice that? Everybody on the steps and everybody seems to be eating sandwiches, but I think it's that Willie ate all of the sandwiches. I'm not really sure what happened here, but I'm just going to play the scene.
Willie, what are you doing with my lunch?
Your butter's my favorite.
There's none left for Henry.
You don't have to worry about Henry anymore.
And Henry's walking like, oh, I can't wait to have my peanut butter sandwich. I love peanut butter. And he's just a dope. We have Nellie in the background just kind of sitting alone on a bench eating. Interesting. I don't know. I mean, outside of that one distant shot of Nellie, I don't think we really get much of Nellie at all in this episode.
No, I think we see her at the dance and that's it.
I'm going to do just like you asked. Stop it.
He starts grabbing her like he's going to kiss her. It's the funniest thing in the world.
Willie?
He's like high on like peanut butter.
I know what you mean when you act that way.
Sorry, honey, but Willie ate all the peanut butter sandwiches. He had some brown sugar cinnamon left if you like some. Stop it.
So he just keeps grabbing her and hugging her. And poor Henry. Henry's kind of like unsure what to really think here. And Willie's just kind of, you know, he's really selling it. He's all excited. A little too excited. I mean, that's your sister, man. Laura comes down to talk to, you know, goes to bed, but can't sleep. She's all upset. So she comes downstairs to talk to Ma and Pa for a little bit of advice.
I wish I was.
Oh, they're asking, are you sick, Half Pint? And she wishes she was.
Then I have an excuse not to go to the spring dance.
What's this all about? I thought you liked dance.
I do. It's fun when you have the right partner.
There's going to be a lot of boys there. You have lots of partners.
Not a special one.
Well, you got me.
I love you, Pa. It's just not like having a boy ask you out to the dance.
Well, there's still tomorrow. Maybe somebody will invite you tomorrow.
Maybe, but I don't know what to do. I try what you said.
What I said?
About making him jealous like you did to Pa.
This is like the Three's Company part where everything starts coming together at the end.
And I have to say Charles says, well, you've got me. I don't think there's a woman alive who hasn't heard that from her dad when she was like a teenager and just like rolled her eyes like, lame and gross, dad, whatever.
You don't get it.
Like you told me.
Exactly.
It worked with Pa, but I must be doing something wrong because it just isn't working with Henry.
Well, I wouldn't stay up the whole night worrying about it. You get some sleep. Everything always looks brighter in the morning.
Yes, sir. Good night, Mom.
Oh, always looking brighter in the morning. Now what we do is we get a little bit of insight as to what a bad memory Caroline apparently has.
Must have overheard what I said to Grace and applied it to her home situation.
From what I understand, it's not working out too well for Grace either.
No, it isn't. I wish I'd kept out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, Carolyn, you know, it's impossible for a woman not to give advice on how to snare a man.
Ouch. He said that with conviction. Conviction.
I don't know that he's wrong.
Wrong.
Well, at least it was sound advice. It worked on you.
Well, sure it did, up to a point. I got angry. Just as angry as Edwards. Why don't you remember that?
Oh, I had forgotten.
How do you forget? He killed the man, probably.
You also forgot you were the one who ended up asking me to the dance.
Seriously, Charles probably killed somebody because of his jealousy. We've seen Charles jealous.
Yeah, he's pretty. Look at how he went crazy on Manly when he thought,
Get off my daughter.
You do remember that?
Yes.
Sound advice.
So it's basically, we get this one shot, and I have to take a screenshot. It's such a funny, like, Ma face that we get. It's exactly a 40 minutes and 16 seconds in. But it's like the, I don't know, there's something like super feisty and like, all right, I get it, I'm wrong. Shut up.
Yeah. Without actually admitting it, right?
Shut up already.
I like the cut, too, to this next scene.
Yeah, me too. I'm just going to let it play through.
Else fails, tell the truth.
The whole truth.
I know nothing but the truth.
You ruined everyone's lives. It's a popcorn.
Memory is a capricious thing. And sometimes two people remember the same thing a little differently.
Laura's got the cookies and the milk mustache. And Grace is sewing. Oh, it's a beautiful day out.
I mean, as the years go by, sometimes we forget the little details, especially some of the small setbacks. Last night, Charles reminded me of the missing ingredient in the recipe I gave you.
He killed a man.
What to do if things didn't work out?
But Pa was jealous. He said he was.
Yes, he was also very angry. And too proud to let on. And so I had to track him down, confess my deception, and ask him to the dance.
But the
Jezebel. That's not appropriate.
Girls aren't supposed to do the asking.
Thank you, Melissa Gilbert. Thank you. Girls aren't supposed to do the asking.
Isaiah would never let me hear the end of it.
Well, swallowing your pride doesn't give you indigestion. If it puts things to rights, well, the worst they can say is no, and you'll be no worse off than you are now.
They agree to. They're going to put their best foot forward, and they're going to get their men.
What I think, too, like, as a teenager, you know, I remember feeling like that. It wasn't, like, necessarily a, it's like, if I have to ask myself, it's because I'm lame. Other girls can get guys to ask, right? Like, I think that we internalize that even, like, even when I was a teenager, and there's probably young women internalizing it now, right? Like, it's...
Well, they think, you know, as a teenager, you think it's the end of the world. You know, this is the most... Nothing is ever going to be this difficult.
Oh, yeah, like...
And now you look back, you're like, oh, my God. I was right.
I think of all the times my mom was right. She used to say things to me like I always had like the great unrequited love of my life through most of junior high and high school was one guy. And it was so ridiculous. Like it was just, and when I look back, I wouldn't even, he's not someone I would ever want to be with at all.
Right.
Like compared to, you know, the man I ended up dating later on in life. And
but that was the Chantel who was like what, 14-15 years old?
Yeah, right.
You were like looking for something else. This person was probably definitely not what you even thought he was.
Oh, and of course. And I mean, I was pretty sheltered. Like I went to Catholic school in a small Alberta town. Not a town, like a city, but there, you know, like it was, I hadn't met a lot of people. I hadn't gone to university. Everybody I knew was Catholic. You know what I mean? Like there wasn't.
Was this boy's name Jesus? No.
It was not. No. No, he had like four names the way Catholic boys in very strict Catholic families do.
Michael, what? Peter, Christopher.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And his brother had four. Even his sister had it was just, and they were a stricter Catholic family than I think we were. But, you know, like
Opus Dei.
Yeah, whereas I am not that person at all. Like, don't know. I don't ever know what the appeal was. It was just sort of, I don't know.
It's been said that when you are a teenager and your hormones are going crazy, you're never going to be, well, most people will never be as close to insanity than they are at that moment of their lives. And that's it. Yeah, our judgment is clouded. We're nuts. We're crazy. And that's one of the number one reasons why teenagers are so wacky.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, and teenagers' feelings are so close to their fingertips, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's all right there.
Yeah.
So I can kind of, there's been many moments watching Little House as an adult where there have been things that I'm like, yep, that's exactly how it felt. Or when Mary goes to Chicago and finds out that her fiance,
John Jr. was the two-timer.
And, you know, like it is heartbreaking. Like, I feel it so much when I see it. Like, it just didn't, oh my God, if that was my daughter, like if I had a daughter, that would just crush me like it is to Charles.
But I came here for the cotillion.
Yeah, like, it's just so crushing, right? And when it's one of those inevitable, like, that's an inevitable thing. You grow apart from a lot of the people you knew younger as you move away. And, you know, he had moved away and gone to university and lived in a big city. There's a lot going on there, right?
Yeah. You could thank Isaiah for that one.
Yeah. I guess he gets his in the end, though. Doesn't he die?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah. Rodimus Para. Good actor. Really good actor, actually.
Yeah.
Had a really great career. Still has a great career. He lives over in Paris now.
Ooh, fancy.
Fancy schmancy.
So, fancy schmancy.
So Grace is basically looking for Isaiah, said, I have a big package for him. So Isaiah comes over to collect his quote unquote package.
Snyder, I come from my package.
Snyder, I came from my package. Like, what? Snyder, I came from my package.
He always sounds a little drunk, you know, like
drunk and mad all the time. Oh my God. A little bit of both. And Grace is all sweet as a donut. So she's giving a box of goodies to Isaiah.
Say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
You must be collecting hearts the way Geronimo collects scalps. It's downright shameful.
Oh. Damn right, shameful.
I admit it. I have been shameful. Using poor, innocent Dr. Baker to get you jealous just so you'd break down and invite me to the spring dance. Well, if you're not going to ask me, I'm going to have to ask you.
Don't do
well,
it.
Yes or no?
Never could resist your cherry pie.
Oh, and he kisses her. Bye, Snyder. John, Snyder, I'm grabbing my baggage. Rah. I'll see you at the dance. All mad. But he's a softie.
That's his thing, right? Like, he's crusty on the outside and marshmallow on the inside.
Yeah, and even looked around before he kissed her. And he did it right in the middle of the town square. Now, Henry, I think, had a growth spurt because he's walking around with some of the craziest high waters I've ever seen.
Well, it's like my son, his pants never fit him.
Well, it's also a part of life. But this guy's got a good 4 inches of fiber. Like, it's crazy.
Can I ask you something?
Why don't you ask know-it-all Willie? You're so stuck on
him. I'm not stuck on him.
Sorry you're giving him marbles.
And poor Willie. Laura shoves him into the crick.
Like, for no reason. And I wrote that down, that Laura's sometimes really mean.
Sometimes. She's always mean. She's
like, I was thinking, like, Buddy, like, holy, Nellie could have actually been paralyzed when she pushes her down that hill, right? Like, like, it's just,
yeah.
I mean, I get it. And as a kid, I loved that. That was, like, one of my favorite episodes, right? Like, oh, that nasty Nellie finally gets what she deserves. But, like, that's some serious psychopathic behavior. And then she gets given a horse for her deed. Like,
yeah, like definitely Laura's, we call it tough and we call it, you know, she's a scrapper, but sometimes she's just flat out mean.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, just, Willie's just helping. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, she asked him to help and, yeah. You know, like poor Willie, I just feel like he has no clue what's going on in any of this. And he's just doing what he's told. And, you know, there's no reason to like just push him into the water like that.
Now, in all fairness, he did say that he would not be unsticking from her unless she paid him off. So.
Well, true. I mean, he's got his mother's business sense. So.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah. But Laura runs up to Henry.
Henry? Henry? Henry, wait a minute. The marbles I gave him were for a trade.
For what?
For you. Only it didn't work. You see, I wanted to go to the spring dance with you, only wouldn't ask me. So I thought that if you thought that somebody else liked me...
You mean you did it a purpose on account of me?
Will you take me?
I reckon if you can show me some steps, otherwise you can have sore toes.
Don't worry, I got tough toes.
I like you, Laura. You're weird. You're the weird girl.
Let's get weird together. And no, wait, that's...
Yeah, exactly. A little too young. Well, Henry could be like 13, maybe. But,
who knows?
And here's the third see ya.
See ya.
So it's kind of cute. Now we're at the dance.
Hey, before we get into this, I have stuff to say.
Okay.
I want you to watch Kevin Hagen and Charlotte Stewart dancing together. Because... Kevin Hagen's parents were ballroom dancers, and mm-hmm. he actually taught at Arthur Murray, like a lot of actors at the time did. Yeah, and if you watch him dance, like, he's great. Like, he's just, my mom's a really good dancer, and it's that same kind of, like, gliding, barely touching, and I think if you watch, he's even wearing, like, proper patent leather dancing shoes rather than the boots the doc usually wears. But it's fantastic to watch.
Well, it's the last scene, but I'm going to play some of the music anyway. So I think that's when we get a good shot of them dancing.
And the other thing I'll point out is that when they pull out at the very end of the scene, they actually kind of go off the set a bit onto the black floor of like the studio.
Oh, really?
to show the dance floor. So, yeah, it's kind of neat.
All right, I'm going to play it.
Like I said, when all else fails.
Tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Charles, don't you want to dance?
Carolyn, I was just waiting for you to ask me.
Isaiah is definitely drunk, by the way. He's just like bumping into people. It's so funny. You're right. I saw that. It's like a concrete floor on the left. That's interesting.
Yeah, you can see it.
Good eye. That was good. Well, Chantel, we're at the end of another episode. I want to thank you so much for doing this. This was a lot of fun.
Always is. Yeah. I think this is a fun episode. It's fun. It's sweet.
This is a great first episode because you get everything and it's early. So you get everybody's cute still. You get Pa, you get good advice, you get bad advice, you get humor, and you get dancing at the end.
And if you watch at the end of, there's another episode. One of the really early ones with, If I Should Die Before You Sleep.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dance at the end, too. And you can actually... Charles has something to the effect of, like, hey, Doc, I'll let you, you know, you can waltz with my wife after all, everything's going to happen. And you can tell he's actually... He's teaching Karen Grassley to dance and how to waltz properly while, like, at the end of the scene. It's really neat.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.